Bibles this morning, turn, if you would, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. I was thinking about my ministry, and I don't know. I know I've used and referenced these verses of Scripture, but I don't know that I've ever actually drew the thought that we're going to look at this morning. Or I know I hadn't preached upon the thought, may have preached from the text, but never the thought that the Lord's placed upon our heart for this hour. And I pray that, again, that the Lord would speak to each of us and help us here in the service this morning, especially to that one that does not know Christ, that certainly today you would see that need and come to know Him. And then as Christians this morning, that would allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts today, and certainly anything that would be contrary in our hearts and our life to His will, that certainly we would submit and surrender to Him today. I tell you, time's running out. I truly believe that. I believe what we're going to do, we must do quickly. And certainly, I know that certainly as we look at the times and the situation around us today, we see all kinds of things happening, but that should not take us by surprise today. God's already told us about it in His Word, and so what you and I need to do is we need to remain faithful in these days. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, I'm going to start reading this morning in verse number 1 and read down maybe through verse number 10. Last week, of course, I know being Mother's Day, and if you remember, we preached out of the book of 1 Samuel, and I preached on the life of Hannah, and I enjoyed looking at that and preaching that and studying that. And as I was thinking and trying to prepare the message for this week, the Lord began to deal with my heart about a particular thought, and then He certainly led me here to 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12, and certainly this morning the thought would simply be this. Now, I want you to think about it, and it's probably going to be a little bit unusual, but I pray that the Lord will help us as we begin to look at it, and certainly as the Lord's placed it upon our heart. The thought this morning would be, or the title would simply be this: what will you do when God says no? What will you do when God says no? Most of us today don't like the word no. We don't like that word. From a child, we don't like the word no. We rebel against the word no. But do you realize today, and certainly this is not the only place, but do you realize there's times when God says no? When God says no, what will you do? What will I do when God says no? Let's stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's certainly okay. 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 12, starting in verse number 1. Of course, Paul writing here to the church at Corinth, he's writing about a particular circumstance that happened in his life, a great circumstance. But we see, of course, as we begin to read it and look at it, certainly how God begins to deal with him about that. Notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory, and I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, now notice in verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this saying, now notice in verse 8, this is getting into the meat and the thought that we want to look at this morning. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In verse 9, I love, and certainly we all should love today. And he said unto him, this being the Lord Jesus himself, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, watch this now, is made perfect in weakness. And then notice what Paul says in the latter part of verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, watch it now, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, notice in verse 10, wherefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecutions, in distresses, for, watch it, Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before your great throne of grace again today, Lord, as humble as we know how to come. We thank you for another beautiful Lord's day. We thank you for health and strength and, Lord, this opportunity and privilege that you've allowed us to gather back, Father, to your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you this morning for the teaching of your word. We thank you for the praying that's already been done. We thank you this morning for the beautiful singing. And we thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning for, Lord, your precious living word. And I pray now as I stand as your servant, I realize this morning that I stand in a place where no man can stand alone. And I pray this morning for fresh oil. I pray that, Father, you would anoint me and help me. Lord, I realize today that, Lord, Satan will do all that he can, Father, to hinder, Lord, in any service. But I pray right now that, Lord, you'd hold back the forces of hell. And I pray that, Lord, you give me liberty this morning to stand and proclaim that which you placed upon my heart for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray as the word of God goes out, I pray that, Lord, that you walk up and down every pew, speak to every heart. And I pray this morning we'll be submissive and obedient. Lord, as you speak into our hearts, I pray most of all, if there be one here today lost, oh God, today, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will convict and draw. And Lord, this very day, Father, they'd walk the aisle and come and, Lord, accept you as Savior. And then, Lord, some may be cold and indifferent. Some may be here today that, Lord, there's things in their heart and their life. Lord, maybe bitterness of soul. Lord, I don't know, but Father, I pray that, Lord, you take the message, you place it upon my heart. Lord, I pray now you'll take it, use it. And Father, as we give the invitation today, Lord, may you work. May your will be done in every heart and every life. Use us now. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, for a few moments today, as we begin to look at the fault, what will you do when God says no? I'm glad this morning for the privilege of prayer. Would you say amen right there? I'm glad for the privilege of prayer, as each of us this morning should be. We know through the privilege of prayer that we can bring anything, anything. Boy, I'm so thankful for this, that we can bring anything to Him in prayer. There's nothing this morning that certainly we cannot ask of Him. And I'm thankful for that today, and you should be as well. We also know that God does answer prayer. How many say that God answers prayer today? Thank God, I'm glad that He does answer prayer and will continue to answer prayer. But sometimes, as we've said this morning, God says no to our request. God sometimes says no to our request. He knows what is best. Now, we think we know what's best, but sometimes we do not know what's best. But God knows what is best when we do not even have a clue. And certainly this morning, again, how we handle it can make the difference and will make the difference in our lives, in our spiritual lives, when we how we handle when God says no. Because He is, once in a while, He's going to say no. Now, as we begin to think about that, I want to give you three things in the way of introduction before I get into the main message today. As we said, I thank God for prayer. I thank God that God answers prayer and will continue to answer prayer. And we see three things. Certainly it's been said many times in a way that God answers prayer. Number one, I thought about this. First of all, there is an immediate answer to prayer. Now, we find that all through the Scriptures, especially even in the New Testament, as Jesus here was here in His earthly ministry and different things going on, we see that there is an immediate answer to prayer. Now, let me say this morning before I move on. If you're here today and you have never been truly born again, you've never been saved, you do not know Christ as your personal Savior today, could I say this morning, if you come under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, and you will call upon Him for salvation, He will immediately answer that prayer. Oh, I thank God for that this morning, don't you? I'm glad I didn't have to beg Him. I'm glad I didn't have to ask Him time and time again. I'm glad when I got ready to do business with God, and God was dealing with my heart, I'm glad when I called out unto Him for salvation this morning. I'm glad that He saved me and redeemed me by His marvelous grace. Boy, I thank God for that today. Hallelujah. We ought to praise God this morning. We ought to worship Him. We ought to thank Him. We ought to adore Him. Hallelujah. He didn't turn us away. He answered that prayer immediately, thank God. And He's still answering that prayer today. So, friend, if you're here this morning without Christ, again, let me say to you today, if you will come, I'm glad the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is an immediate answer unto prayer. Thank God for that. And then there's other circumstances in our life where God, when we pray, God almost immediately answers that prayer. We like those kind. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can anybody identify with that? Can anybody thank God for that? Hallelujah. There's been times when we've been in the valley. There's been times when things are going on in our life and we pray and it's almost immediately God answers that prayer. God can immediately answer prayer. Thank God for that. So this morning there is an answer to immediate prayer this morning, and I'm thankful for that. If you pray for salvation, as we said, God can and will answer that prayer immediately. And certainly, again, the saints can pray for certain things, and God will answer that prayer immediately. But not only is there an immediate answer to prayer, but simply, secondly, to this morning in the way of introduction, there is a time of waiting in prayer. Now, He doesn't answer every prayer immediately. Sometimes He says, wait. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little impatient like that. Amen. Can anybody else identify with that today? Sometimes Lord, You answered the other prayer immediately. Why won't You answer this one immediately? Well, sometimes God doesn't want to do it that way. Sometimes He wants to see whether we're going to be consistent in our prayer. Sometimes He wants to know if we're really serious about that prayer. And sometimes God answers immediately, as I said, but sometimes there is a waiting in prayer. That doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean that we quit. That doesn't mean that we throw the towel. That means we just keep praying. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't give up. Hallelujah. I'm glad God didn't give up on me, and we certainly don't need to give up on Him. God answers prayer according to His will and His time. And sometimes God says, wait. And sometimes that waiting period, as we look at the life of Hannah last week, there was a time of waiting. Man, that's hard. And you may be in that time this morning. You may be in a time of waiting on something that you have specifically sought the Lord about. Don't quit praying. Keep praying. Keep waiting on the Lord and let Him answer it in His way and in His time. So there's an immediate answer to prayer. Not only is there the immediate answer, but then there's the time of waiting. And could I say in that time of waiting, God's timing is always right? We think we need it right now, but we may not necessarily need it right now. We need it when God says that we need it. We need to wait on Him. So this morning, not only is there the immediate time, and not only is there the waiting time, but as we come to our text this morning and think briefly about the thought that we have before us, there is a time when God says no. Now, when it comes to salvation, God wants to answer. God's desire is to save everyone. For whosoever will. Everyone. For the whole world. But then there comes times when we ask for things that it's not best for us. Sometimes we ask for things that is not in God's will. We just want God to do it. And God says no. Here we come to the text and we see that, of course, Paul is talking about his personal experience of 14 years ago and certainly caught up to the third heaven and seen things that he could not understand, that he could not relay. And we see that certainly if he could have, that it might have been used in a negative way instead of a positive way. But we see that he was giving a thorn in the flesh. And there's something this morning that will hinder all of us. Yes, sir. I can promise you there is something, and sometimes more than one thing, that will hinder us if we're not careful. And we'll pray about that, and we'll pray about that, and we'll pray about that. And God all the time is just saying, no. I can remember as a kid growing up, and probably everybody can identify, nobody wants, as I said in the opening this morning, nobody wants to hear no. Everybody wants to, in a sense, wants to rebel against no. But see, we always don't know what's best for us. We think that we do. Paul thought, boy, now if I had this, now he doesn't tell us what the thorn is. There's different speculations, most likely some kind of physical ailment, but there's all kinds of accusations. There's all kinds of things that are said about what that thorn. Listen, that's not, the thorn's not the, what is certainly the important part today. The important part is that we see that he sought the Lord thrice to remove it, and God said no. God said, no, that's not my will. And so we see how Paul handles that. And simply a lot of times when, it's kind of like children, when you say no, they stomp their feet, they get mad, they go off and they get the pooch mouth. Amen? Anybody in here ever get the pooch mouth? Yeah, most of us, we'll be honest before the Lord today, we get to pooch mouth once in a while, and God don't move and work like we want Him to. We get to pooch mouth, we get mad, and the problem with that is, if we're not careful, we eventually get bitter. I'm telling you what, if we're not careful, we'll give up on God. We'll give up on what God wants for us. We'll say, I know what's best, God, I'll go my way, I'll do my thing. But I'm telling you, God always knows best. God loves us today, and God wants to help us. God wants to answer prayer. God wants to use our life today. And sometimes we've just got to accept when God says no. So let me give you three things this morning about what will you do when God says no. When God says it's not what's best, it's not His will, it's not His purpose, it's not His plan. I want you to notice three things about the text this morning. First of all, I want you to notice Paul's request in prayer. Paul's request in prayer. We see it here in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, this thorn, as we said, we don't know exactly what the thorn was, but we realize that it was something that he would really like to have gone. Amen. I've been there a few times. Well, I've got a few that's with me this morning. But I want you to know Paul's request in prayer. Number one, I believe Paul prays believing. Now, he didn't come before the Lord Jesus here in this prayer and did not believe that if it was God's will to be removed, that God could do it and would do it. Can I say this morning when we pray, we need to pray believing. We need to pray this morning just as if God is going to answer that prayer and will answer it in His way and in His time. We must pray believing. I'm afraid so many times we pray and we don't believe God. We've already given up on the prayer before we even get up off of our knees. Can I say this morning that we serve a God just as He answered Hannah's prayer, and just as He answered prayer after prayer all through the Scriptures, and just like He's answered prayer in your life and in my life, can I say that God can and will still answer prayer for those today that will believe God this morning? Some people, if we're not careful, including myself, won't pray believing. Now, he didn't know how God was going to answer the prayer. He didn't know if it was going to be an immediate. He didn't know if it was going to be a waiting. He didn't know whether it was going to be a no. But he prayed. Our problem is so many times we don't even pray. We're not even, hey, we've already made up our mind what we're going to do and how we're going to do and do it ourselves. And we don't even seek after the Lord in the situation. Well, preacher, what should I seek after the Lord with? Everything. It's not just the bad things, not just the hard things that come against us. Hey, we should commit and submit everything before God in prayer today. Every aspect of your life. Young people, Every decision that you make in your life ought to be bathed in prayer. We got young people here this morning, and you're going to be making decisions. School's going to soon be getting out. You're going to be doing things through the summer. You're making plans about next year. You're making plans about high school. You're making plans about college. You're making plans about life. You're making plans about marriage. You're making plans about what your career is going to be. Listen, I'll tell you what. You can't go wrong. You won't go wrong if you'll seek out God in prayer today. Why? Because God has a purpose, and God has a plan, and that plan and that purpose is perfect. Even if it's in the midst of God once in a while saying no, He knows what is best. Seek God in prayer this morning, my friend. And pray believing. Because we know that the Bible teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Do you believe that He is? And then it goes on and says, is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. So Paul's got a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. Most likely, as we said, probably a physical ailment of some kind. You know, as I was preparing the message, week after week, month after month, time after time, I go into hospital rooms, I go into nursing homes, and I see physical ailment after physical ailment after physical ailment. And God can heal those physical ailments. He can. I know He can, because He's God. But sometimes God says no. Not here. But that does not keep me from praying for them and with them in faith, believing, Lord, if it's your will, you can heal. But it's not always God's will. Sometimes God says no. But that shouldn't keep us from praying, believing, because God can. Through prayer, we see that God changes circumstances. But I want to be honest with you. I think through prayer today, God, it's not the circumstances that is important that gets changed. It's me and you that gets changed. You can chew on that a while. Notice in Paul's request, he prays believing, because we know without prayer or without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not only did he pray believing, but he prays with a burden. He prays with a burden. Do you believe that Paul wanted that thorn removed? I can promise you, whatever that thorn was, he wanted it gone. Has there ever been time when you just wanted something gone? Yes, oh yes. Hallelujah, there's just time. Lord, just remove it. Just take it away. He prayed with a burden. In other words, he prayed consistently. Notice the Bible says that he sought the Lord thrice. He had a burden. He wanted it gone. He wanted it removed. He wanted God to answer that prayer. And he believed that God would answer that prayer. Sometimes I think we've lost our burden in prayer. God doesn't remove it the first time, so we forget about it. But then sometimes God just says no. Notice Paul's request in prayer. He prays believing. He prays with a burden. He's consistent. As we said, he prayed three times that this thorn would be removed. Why? Because he felt like that it was hindering him. In essence, it was keeping him humble. Now, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? And as I said, God's plan's perfect and God knows what he's doing. But man, we just don't like to hear no. But Paul prays, believing. He prays with a burden. But thirdly, he prays boldly. Now, the book of Hebrews teaches us to come boldly before the throne of grace. And thank God that we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can. So he prays, believing. He prays with a burden. He prays boldly. The word boldly simply means to have confidence or to be confident. He prays trusting God to answer according to his will and not Paul's will. How do you know? Well, look back in the prayer. Man, it's not a big prayer, but notice it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Watch this next couple of words. That it might depart from me. Now, he believed God could, but I believe he's showing us here that he's praying boldly. He's praying confidently unto the Lord. And he's saying, "Lord, not according to my will, but Father, your will be done." Just as Jesus was there in the garden of Gethsemane. "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." I wonder today how much more we could see God do. How much more we could be used and blessed of God if we'd pray, "God, not my will, but your will be done." We see Paul's request in prayer, in his believing, in his burden, and praying boldly. But I want you to see not only Paul's request in prayer, but secondly, I want you to see the Lord's response to his prayer. God did answer his prayer. He answered it. He did answer it. As I said, there's that immediate answer. There's that answer, that time of waiting. And then there's that answer of no. No. Boy, that was when it really gets tough. Because I've said so many times, we think we know what's best for us. We think we know what God's will is. But in essence, a lot of times we don't. And God says no. So we see the Lord's response to his prayer. And the thing about this prayer, that God was hearing his prayer every time he prayed. Amen? He was hearing him every time that he prayed. He was hearing, he was listening every time that he prayed. But as we said, the Lord's response to his prayer was simply this. His answer was no. We are not told why. We are not told the circumstances, certainly of all the things that entails with it, but we do know that God said, you say, "Well, preacher, I do not see where God said no." Well, just look at the text. He didn't answer that prayer according to the way that Paul wanted him, in the sense of removing that thorn. He said no. So that's the Lord's answer. The Lord's response was no. Does that mean that the Lord didn't love him? Absolutely not. Well, it's kind of like children. "Well, Ben, the Lord didn't answer that the way I thought I wanted him to answer it. He must not love me." Woo! See, our problem is sometimes we're not spiritually mature enough to handle what God says. See, Paul was in a place in his life at this particular time. He was spiritually mature to handle whatever God said. I wonder today, including myself, and I've got to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to search my heart and ask me now. Now, when God says no, preacher, are you willing to be able to be spiritually mature to take it the right way and make that thing something positive that God wants to do in your life? Or do you want to drop your lip and put your head in the sand and play the poochie mouth and get mad and disgusted and bitter and all those things? Listen, all those things will happen this morning if we do not get spiritually mature enough to accept what God wants for us. There have been times in my ministry where, boy, I thought, man, God, this is what God wants. And boy, everything looked like it was just going to go in that direction. And then all of a sudden, God put the brakes on. The devil stepped in. Something happened. Now, at that point in my life, in the ministry that God had entrusted to me, I could have threw up my hands and said, Lord, I'm going to play the poochy mouth. I'm going to quit, and I'm just going to go out here and do what I want to do. And the heck with this preaching, the heck with this ministry. Boy, I'm so glad there's something burning in my soul this morning. Hallelujah, thank God. That says, preacher, keep going on. You keep praying. Hey, that might not have worked out, but God's got something else. God's got a purpose, and God's got a plan, and God's got something for everybody to do. Thank God. We just need to find out what it is and get to doing it with all of our heart. Thank it up. Thank God lifting up the bloodstained banner of Calvary that men, women, boys, and girls would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes God says no. What you going to do with it when He says no? We see that the Lord's response was no. Didn't mean that God didn't love him. Didn't mean that He didn't want the best for him. What it meant was, it's just exactly what. When did no not? When does no not mean no? Kind of like kids when you say no, then they start. Sometimes church members, you say no and they start. Sometimes no just means no. Sometimes God says no. That was His answer. But that wasn't all of it. The Lord Jesus is saying to Paul, no, Paul, it's not my will to answer it. Not my will to take away that thorn, because that thorn's going to help you. Boy, when you think about a thorn, you don't think about it helping you. All you're thinking about is it's hindering you. But the Lord says, Paul, it's going to help you. It's going to help you. His answer is no. But not only do we see in the Lord's response to His prayer that His answer was no, but then we see the Lord's act of grace. Woo, hallelujah. Hold my view and let me shout a while. The Lord says, Paul, no, I'm not going to remove it. That's His answer. But then He says, Paul, there's an act of grace. thank God for His marvelous acts of grace. Oh, my soul. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, look down in verse 9. And He said unto me, who's He talking about? Paul's talking about the Lord Jesus Himself. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. God says, no, Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. But I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to give you grace. And my grace will be sufficient. My grace will take care of you. My grace will get you through. Hallelujah. My grace is going to help you. It's going to be sufficient. And I'm glad, hallelujah, if it was sufficient for Paul. Thank God I'm glad that same grace is still sufficient for me and for you. Yes, sometimes God says no, but thanks be unto God. His answer might be no, but His act of grace. He's saying, Paul, you're going to make it. Paul, you're going to get through. Paul, I'm still going to use you. Hallelujah. Thank God for the acts of grace this morning. I'm saved because of grace. I'm kept. Praise God. God's riches at Christ's expense. Paul, I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to remove that thorn. My answer is no. But I'm going to give you an act of grace. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to go with you all the way. Oh my. I believe in a God that saves. I believe in a God that keeps. And I believe in a God that'll get us home. I don't have to worry about that this morning. Preacher, ain't you worried about going to hell? Not one bit. Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, I don't know what kind of thorns I'm going to have to face. I don't know what kind of obstacles. I don't know what kind of hindrances. I don't know what in the world that I'm going to have to face today, tomorrow, next week. Listen, I don't know and you don't either. But hallelujah, I'm going to make it and you're going to make it. I'm not going to hell. I'm saved, thank God, to the uttermost. Hallelujah today. Why? Because of the grace of Almighty God this morning, my friend. We're going to make it. When you don't feel like you can go on any farther, there's grace. When you don't have the answer, you don't understand why. When you're in turmoil and you're troubled in the midst of the storm, there's grace. There's grace. Preacher, you ever been there? Oh yeah, I sure have. Hadn't it been for the grace of God, we'd all be lost. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, some of you been laying out in the ditch somewhere this morning. With a hangover, with a needle in your arm. Amen! God says, the Lord Jesus says to Paul, his answer is no. But then he says there's going to be an act of grace. Oh, I love the rest of what this verse says. Not only in this act of grace do we see that He's going to take care of us, that we can count on Him. But notice, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, when you can't, I can. I'll be honest with you, none of us can, but I'm glad He can. Sometimes we need just to understand that God says no because we need to look and depend upon Him and not us. Boy, so many times we depend on what we can do, how we can try and fix it, how we can try and understand it. I'm sure Paul didn't understand this. Just as there's many situations in life we don't understand. We don't have the answer for. But when he said his grace is sufficient, his act of grace, we can count on him. We see Paul's request. We see the Lord's answer. And lastly, we see Paul's rejoicing. Boy, when somebody says no, that just makes me mad. I'll take my toys and go home. See, now remember, the title to the message is, What Will You Do? When God says no. Now you can take your toys and go home. God will let you do that. God's not going to make you do a thing. But God says, I've got so much more available for you. Paul, I'm not done with you. I'm here for you. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, well, you know what I think I'll do? I just think I'll rejoice a while. The thorn's still there. The problem's not gone. Oh, hallelujah. Whew, praise God. I'm glad God, I'm glad my Savior, I'm glad my Redeemer is bigger than any problem. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's bigger than any problem, any circumstance, any storm, any turmoil, any trial, any thorn. I'm glad my God's bigger. I'm glad he's the best. And I'm glad he's going to look after us this morning. Paul's rejoicing. To God's answer of no. Look at it. Middle part of verse 9. The thorn's still there. The problem is still evident. Hadn't went away. God said no, Paul. No, Paul. Most of us gather up our toys and go to the house. Most gladly. I've seen saints of God, prayed with them, been with them, and in the midst of all their troubles and turmoils, they can still praise God. And we can't even come on Sunday morning feeling pretty good. Whoop! Most gladly, therefore, watch it now, will I rather glory. You know what the word glory means? It means to rejoice. It means to have joy. Woo. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Watch it. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's rejoicing when God says no. I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice his acceptance. His acceptance of God's answer. But not only his acceptance, but also his appreciation. Woo. Well, that's deep stuff right there. Paul saying, Lord, if that's your will, I'm glad. Watch it. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying, I'd rather have the power of Christ than to have the thorn removed. Now that's deep. That's a spiritual maturity that a lot of folks never get to. And yes, sir, Brother Kevin, we need to pray God help us. We need to pray that God would help us. Lord, it's about you. Lord, it's about you. It's that the power of Christ might rest upon me, that I might win others to you and point others to you. We're concerned about everything in the world today. Honestly, let's just think about it. Let's just be honest before the Lord because he already knows. We're concerned about everything in the world. But are we really concerned about the power of Christ? Well, he was a preacher and he was an apostle. Do you realize that same power is available to you and to me? Now, he's not calling any of us to be apostles. Those days are gone. But he is looking for some disciples. It's not about the thorn. It's not about it being removed. But it's about the power of Christ resting upon Paul. What will you do when God says no? Now, there's an immediate answer to prayer. If you're here today lost, God's will, God's desire is not any to perish, but that all to come to repentance. Preacher, what do I need to do? Call upon Jesus. Call upon him. Maybe there are circumstances in your life today. There's been times God said no. You just won't accept it. You just won't appreciate what God wants to do, what He has done, what He wants to do. I was thinking, as I was preparing for the message, there's other places where God says no. I remember in Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, he's got it made in this walk of life. Poor old Lazarus, begging. Both of them die. Lazarus goes off into Abraham's bosom in paradise. The Bible says the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. And oh, he began to pray. He began to ask the Lord. Lord, I sure would like a bucket of water. No. Sure would like a cup of water. No. He said, could I get just a drop? Could I get just a drop? God says, no. He said, well, could you go down to my father's house? I've got five brethren down there. He says, no. He's got Moses and the prophets. He won't believe them. He won't believe that, well, one rose from the dead. Sometimes God says no. Now, in that circumstance, that was not God's will. But listen, because of the rejection of God, friend, you're going to end up in hell one day if you reject Christ. And you're going to beg and you're going to cry and you're going to plead, and God's going to say, no. Anything I can do to help you? How sad. And now we've got full access to the throne of grace. We've got a great high priest. We've got an interceder. We've got a mediator. We've got a day's man. Preacher, where'd you get that? You have to go back to the book of Job. But we got somebody that's rooting for us. Somebody that's praying for us. Somebody that is going on behalf for us. But what will you do when God says no? Will you get bitter? Throw up your hands? Or will you say, Lord, I've prayed about it. Lord, you've said no. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to accept it and I'm going to praise you anyhow. That the power of Christ might rest upon me. That's what we need. We don't need to get pooched mouth and pouting. If there's been time we ought to get fired up for God, it's now. Sometimes God says no. What are you going to do? What have you done? What are you doing? There may be somebody in here today, you've been praying about something and you know that God has shown you that the answer is no. For some reason, you just don't want to accept that. And you're fixing to go away from God instead of coming to Him. Listen, don't run from Him. Run to Him. Because God is good. Not part of the time. Not sometimes. But all the time. Whether we even realize it or not, He does know best. Many times growing up, Mom, Dad says no, and we think, they don't love me. They don't know what's best for me. And then when you get a little older, you find out, yeah, they knew what they were talking about. They did have my best interest at heart. Now, sometimes that's not always true. Not everybody grows up in a home that is true in. But even if not, we've got a Heavenly Father that says, I want what's best for you. And I want to use your life. What will you do when God says no? Let's stand on our feet all over the building. Brother Ryan, if you'll get us a song. Father, We sure do love you today. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege, Father, to stand and, Lord, try to proclaim the message that you placed upon our heart for this hour. And, Lord, I know the need of no one's heart here today. But, Lord, I know you know the need of every heart and every life, of every situation, of every circumstance. Lord, I pray this morning if there be one here today that's never truly been born again. Lord, I'm glad that when we'll call out unto you for salvation, I'm glad you won't turn us away. I'm glad you won't say no. Lord, when we truly mean business with you, I'm glad that, Father, you'll save us. And Lord, as Christians, I want to thank you this morning for prayers that you've answered immediately. I want to thank you for the prayers that you've answered even in times of waiting. And Lord, I want to thank you even today for those prayers that you answered when you said no. And even though I didn't understand it, Lord, I know that you was working. And Lord, I know that, Father, you have a plan and you have a purpose. And so, Lord, today I want to thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to look to you and not look to ourselves, not look to our circumstances, but, Lord, to look to you and trust you. Now, Lord, I don't know the need of anybody's heart, but, Lord, as we give this invitation, I pray today that, Father, you will convict and draw. If there be one here today lost, Holy Ghost of God, would you please convict them and draw them and help them, give them the faith to come today and trust you as Savior. Then maybe there's a Christian that's cold and different, Lord. Maybe there's a time in their life that, Lord, you've said no, and, Lord, they've had a hard time, and, Lord, they just need to come and talk to you about it. Father, whatever, I just pray that you'll work in the invitation. Have your will and way. We'll thank you and praise you. In Christ's name, amen.